Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Wilson hit from behind. Russell Wilson took a shot from away. Fourth down.
CBS on the call there. Dape Owe. Done what he did last year, which get double-digit sacks. Vinny and Haney, 105.7, The Fan, news from the nest. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song. We'll play it. Favorite female artist or band. Nolan's waiting for you on the Plaza Sports text line. Jeff Zrebeck, The Athletic. Analyzing the Ravens' last six draft classes where they've had least most success. And we talk quarterback being least because they haven't really needed one.
Right.
Outside linebacker, however. And that was Owe, who finally flashed. Last year, first round pick back in 2021. And this is during the Eric DaCosta era. We're not talking about Peter Boulware or Terrell Suggs. We're talking about since 2019. Jalen Ferguson, third round pick at 19, unfortunately no longer with us. Was still kind of finding a role, it seemed.
Yeah.
Remember, he was the all-time sack leader coming out of college. Broke Suggs' record, as a matter of fact. Then Owe, who had 13 sacks total heading into last year, then he got 10. Dalen Hayes, called third strike. David Ajabo, that looks like another backwards K right here.
Yeah.
Tavius Robinson, all right, we're cool here, right?
I think Tavius Robinson's, you know, he's never going to be an elite sack guy, but you know what? He's got a hell of a role.
And then Adiza Isaac, TBD with
right.
him. But Jeff, at ninth. In level of success, like, needless to say, they've gone with the Houston Clowney Van Noy route to bring in veterans to help. But drafting impact dudes, not really happening at that
no.
spot.
And that's why they've had to go get the Clowneys, the Van Noys, and the people that you were talking about because of the lack of success there. I mean, an Owe had 10 sacks. Prior to that, he had 5. And he jumped to 10, give him credit. Win rate's not good, you know. And is he a guy that you're afraid of? I don't think so. He's not a guy that scares you that, well, we better double him. Because a lot of time his sacks are effort sacks because he can run so fast and he's so athletic. And he'll get him stunting and twisting. You know, but he can beat a guy every night. If he gets the right takeoff, he can get around the corner and get the guy. But just not consistently.
Now with David Ajabo, where are we here? I mean, you liked him coming out of Michigan.
I loved him coming out of Michigan.
But as we talked about after they drafted him, the Ravens, prior to his last year, bookending Aiden Hutchinson. He had one tackle, much less sacks. Or was it two? Something like that. But had one monster season, helped them get to the championship game, then got hurt. It seems as though he's never been able to recover from that.
Well, he's got a crapper get off the pot training camp, Bob, because he's fighting for the 53. That's the way I see it. You gotta show me. You know, I'm going to Missouri. Ojabo's got to show me come July and August that he can, that he has got it back. Because, I mean, watching him last year, Bob, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing. I mean,
even at camp, did he look kind of...
Yeah. Just can't get off of blocks.
And there's always, like, an injury somewhere.
Well, the thing that he looks is, and I say it a lot about Ojabo, or Owe, is they paint by the numbers. It's like,
right.
It's not naturally smooth, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, we can all paint by numbers. I can't stay inside the lines, though, but that's just me. Quarterback comes in at number 8. Iman Marshall, fourth round in 19. Brandon Stevens. I mean, you extracted as much as you could out of him.
No doubt.
Third round in 21. Sean Wade, he didn't make it out of training camp. 21. Jalen, he was a fifth rounder. Jalen Armour Davis, Damarian Williams. Oh, Pepe, both fourth rounders in 22. Pepe. I don't even know if he's in the league anymore. In Armour Davis, like in Ojabo. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you got here?
Well, the thing with, you know, Armour Davis was he was always hurt at Alabama. Hey, he's a talented guy, but he's always hurt. I mean, I like the first day at the rookie minicamp, I'm there, and you watch him do the drills. Man, that kid looks pretty good. And then you go to watch him a little bit. Where'd he go?
Yeah.
Oh, he went to the training room. You know what I mean? And that's where he spends all his time. Will he ever help? You can't count on it, Bob. Let's just say
no
that.
No doubt. Caillou Blue Kelly off the team. Nate Wiggins, that's a thumbs up last year in the first round. And TJ Tampa, probably, Vinny, one of the more intriguing players to watch this year at camp.
I liked him a lot coming out of at Iowa State. I think he's a football player, and I think he'll help them. I think it's going to end up being a really nice pick for Eric. But another one, just stay healthy, TJ. Just stay healthy. You know, I mean, he had a lot of soft tissue. Get him healthy, and he's going to make plays because he did well at camp and stuff when he was on the field.
NFL lunch, let's go to running back. Jeff Zrebeck, The Athletic, hits or misses for Eric DaCosta's 6 draft classes as we're 15 days away from 2025. Running back / fullback, Justice Hill, fourth rounder, 2019.
He'd gotten better. This year, I mean, he was outstanding. He really had a big role for them this year, you know, opposite Derrick Henry, because his pass protection, off the charts. So, and some of the plays that he made and stuff, he had a hell of a year. That was his best year in the NFL.
J.K. Dobbins looked like a keeper. Unfortunately, injuries have had a nice bounce back for the Chargers this year, but because of the knee and the other nagging things he's dealt with, he'll never be the guy he was at Ohio State, where he was a 2,000-yard runner.
No, and I don't even think he's signed with a team.
Free agent now, right?
Yeah. People don't want to take a broken down running back, especially when there's a lot of good backs in the draft. So he'll get a 1-year, you know, incentive type deal. I mean, you had the perfect situation with Giro, who knew him, and they got rid of him after a year. That's not a good sign.
Ben Mason, fifth rounder out of Michigan, 2020.
I think he's at the Chargers too, isn't he? Fullback. And
that one never made sense from the jump.
I didn't think he really fit the position that they wanted. Yeah, I mean, they like the 300-pound, you know, the bigger, like, Juszczyk and more the blocker, and he wasn't.
Tyler Beatty, sixth rounder, 2022, now in Denver, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then Rasheen Ali last year, fifth rounder.
I guess to be determined. I mean, really his best hits are the undrafted free agents. You know, with Gus Buss and Keaton Mitchell.
Sure.
You know, I think those have been. Now, was Ricard his or was that Ozzie?
That's Ozzie.
Oh, damn.
At Ozzie, you make a case he could be in the Hall of Fame as an executive.
Oh, no doubt.
He's already in.
No doubt.
A player, and rightfully so. It's 5-7. The Fan will come back. How about we count some dough? I know not a lot of money to count here last couple of days, but hopefully we're trending upwards as we're getting closer to the weekend. And then we'll talk some Orioles who are kind of trending down with Jim Hunter. And then another draft profile. We're going to Columbus, Ohio, talking wide receiver here on Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny Hady, Nolan McGraw, the Fan.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time it's subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Amy, 1057, The Fan.
Midweek, got a lot going on. World of sports, NBA, NHL winding down the regular season. College basketball's done. Congratulations to UConn women and the Florida men. Baseball's a couple of weeks in. The NFL draft is 15 days away. I'm sure there's some sort of pickleball and cornhole tournament happening somewhere, and we'll get into as much as we possibly can, but right now let's count some cash, midweek style, by yourself.
Yeah, the Dow's up 179, the S&P's up 35, NASDAQ is up 225, DraftKings up 40 cents, and Under Armour's up 80 cents, $4.81.
All right, we'll start here in the NBA. Yesterday's surprising news, the Nuggets making the decision to fire head coach Michael Malone, ending a 10-year tenure with the team right before they're set to enter the playoffs. But after leading them to a title just a few years ago, plus a lengthy resume on top of it, he'll probably find a new home with ease. Question is, how soon? We know the Grizzlies' job, well, that'll be open. Others will become, you know, vacant after the regular season ends here later this week. However, those might not be as attractive as a contender's job would be. Buy or sell, Bob, Malone will land a new gig before the playoffs are done.
I'm selling that. I think they're going to have to wait and see what his options may be. He's in a position of strength. But yeah, it was stunning news. They've lost 4 in a row. They're still teetering on whether or not they're even going to be in the playoffs, not the play-in. Because that whole jumbled mess, as I talked about yesterday. Yeah, but let's see. Clippers, Nuggets, Warriors, Grizzlies all have the same record. And T-Wolves are a game behind them. So they're still playoff spots to be determined. But he'll wait. I said it yesterday. Went to Loyola. Greyhounds, of course, where Jimmy Patsos coached and Santi Aldama played. I mean, it's not D.C., but it's kind of sort of close. So if I'm the Wiz, I'm on it. Get on it!
Over to the NFL in the draft, Jalen Milroe. He's not one of the top quarterback names this year, but some still view him as an intriguing prospect that could blossom in the right situation. Mike Mayock, well, he thinks that right situation, or the ideal landing spot, would be the Rams. Learn from Matthew Stafford without being thrown right into the fire. A chance to develop under Sean McVay, possibly be the long-term solution after Stafford. Logistics of the draft, though, are tough for LA. They don't have a second-round pick, though they do have a pair in the third. Vinny, are you buying or selling the Rams as an ideal situation for Milroe?
Yeah, I guess I'll kind of soft buy it. I mean, it's fine. I mean, he sucked at the Senior Bowl. I mean, he couldn't even throw. Yeah, he's got a long ways to go throwing a football. I mean, he can run, do those things, but he got a long, long way to go throwing.
Over to Major League Baseball, everyone crowned the Dodgers as World Series champs before the season even started. But through these first dozen games, it's the Padres actually leading the way in the NL West with a 9-3 record. Small slice of 162. They have not met head-to-head yet. That'll be the most telling as the season progresses. Even still, San Diego, a playoff-caliber roster, and they've got a chip on their shoulder, sort of the little brother there in the NL West, trying to keep up in terms of spending and winning over the years with the Dodgers. Buy or sell, Bob, the Padres will keep the division race closer than many expect, either winning the West or finishing within at least three games.
I'll buy that. Now, Dylan Cease got clobbered last night. Michael King's off to a good start. Darvish has been hurt for them. But we don't really talk about him much, maybe because it's self-inflicted with the PEDs. Fernando Tatis is having a monster run here. And Manny finally hit his first home run last night. And we were talking earlier with Zach Kreiser from the bandwagon. The Giants are 8-3 or whatever. I don't know if they hang, but yeah, I'm buying that. I think the Padres are in it to win it. Nolan McGraw, not saying they will, but it'll be closer than people anticipated.
More from the NFL draft. The first five picks this year starting to look like it could end up being pretty boring without much suspense. There's a growing consensus over Cam Ward at number one. Talk of Travis Hunter at number two to the Browns is picking up steam by the day, leaving Abdul Carter potentially to be available at number three for the Giants. Or do they want a quarterback in Shedeur Sanders? Well, New York's pass rush actually pretty decently set right now. You got Brian Burns, you got Kayvon Thibodeau, but Carter, Vinny, I mean, you love him. You got a chance to be better than both of those guys right away. Buy or sell, if the Giants draft Carter, they will flip Thibodeau and his rookie contract in a trade before the season.
I could buy that. The only problem is Thibodeau. Are people in love with Thibodeau? That's a thing. And if you're going to flip him and you're not going to get much and you've invested a high, doesn't make sense to flip him. It's better off just playing with him.
And our last topic here today in college basketball. More heartbreak for Houston earlier this week, blowing that 12-point lead in the national championship game. And for Kelvin Sampson, well, he's accomplished a ton in his coaching career, boasts a resume that probably 90% of coaches would be jealous of, but the national championship still eludes him. Six straight Sweet 16s, an Elite Eight, two Final Fours mixed in there as well. But maybe he's left asking himself, will I ever get this close again? They are offensively skilled, not as offensively skilled, excuse me, as the fellow one seeds. Their defense, though, was legit as usual. Buy or sell, Bob, when we look back on Sampson's career years down the road, 2025 will end up being his best shot at a national title.
No, I'm selling it. They're going to be one of the top teams next year. They've got virtually everybody back, and they were better offensively than they have been. You wouldn't have known it, by the way. They were shooting the ball in the second half against Florida. But, you know, Kelvin Sampson's got himself a dynasty, but you got to cap off dynasties with championships. And they were really close this year. But I'll say it again. Said it yesterday. As heartbreaking as that was on Monday night, this is how heartbreaking it is for Houston fans. Not even the worst championship game loss in history. That was in 1983 when they lost to NC State. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Talk Orioles next with Jim Hunter, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Orioles did make a roster move. We'll tell you about that when we come back. And we got another draft profile. We're going to Columbus, Ohio, talking wide receivers here on The Fan. Longtime voice of the Orioles. He's our colleague here, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, 105.7 The Fan. And his comments are powered by Verizon. Let's bring in Jim Hunter. Jim, good afternoon. How you feeling on this Woman Crush Wednesday?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Hanging in there, Jim. And the Zach Eplin injury, bad news, unexpected turn of events, because he was really dealing on Monday night as the Orioles, in my opinion, played their best game of the season, winning that opener 5-1. Grayson's already on the shelf. Bradish and Wells, who knows when we'll see them, if at all, this season. Even guys like Trevor Rogers are down on the farm. Or Rogers, the kid they got from Miami. McDermott is banged up. So it's not like they have a ton of reinforcements coming up through the ranks. But how, I don't say catastrophic, but how tough is this injury news for Eplin himself personally and for this Orioles starting rotation?
Well, it's really devastating for the rotation, Bob, because if you think about it, he's pitched three starts, and all three starts are quality starts. And by the way, those are the only three quality starts in the rotation. The starters have really struggled overall, except for Eplin. I mean, their combined ERA is 5.34. That's 25th out of the 30 teams in the major leagues. So this is a big loss. And again, it brings to mind why they didn't go out and make a trade for a legitimate top of the rotation pitcher in the offseason. They have the prospects to make a trade. They just seem reluctant to do it. And, you know, as you and I have talked about quite a bit, all these guys are not going to play in Baltimore because they're blocked by other prospects. So, you know, now you can't foresee injuries or ineffectiveness. And, you know, who knew Charlie Morton was going to be this bad? But if you make a trade for a guy that you know can play, I mean, you look at other teams like the Dodgers. The Dodgers always go out and sign guys and make trades for players that they know can play and help them. The Orioles at the major league level seem reluctant to do that.
Well, they are dealt with the hand, if you will, that they have created for themselves. And as we said, Trevor Rogers, McDermott not here. Maybe we'll see Brandon Young at some point over the weekend. But you mentioned Charlie Morton, and I said it when the Orioles signed him. You look at his track record, hits the post 30 times a year. And for the most part, it's been effective, been really good in the postseason for multiple teams. But 41, there's only so many throws left in that arm, and it's not like his stuff is off kilter. I mean, he had 4 Ks last night, 10 in his previous outing against the Red Sox, but his command has really gone south here, Jim Hunter. So as we look at Charlie Morton, frustrated with his own performance through 3 starts, are we looking for silver linings, or is this a case of, oh, that dark cloud, it's going to be here for a while?
Well, you know, you're right about the lack of command. I mean, he walked 5 batters last night. And not only does that elevate your pitch count, it gives the opposition more base runners that they didn't earn. I mean, he only gave up 4 hits last night, but he walked 5. So that's 9 base runners. And his ERA is 8.78, which is totally not acceptable for a guy that they paid $15 million a year for to come in here and stabilize the rotation. It's a big concern. He lasted only 5 innings. He's 0-3 in his 3 starts, and in none of those starts did he have a chance to win the game.
Jim Hunter joining us. His comments are powered by Verizon. Jim, of course, the longtime voice of the Orioles and our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan. Tyler O'Neill is now in the crosshairs, Jim. What a difference 2 weeks make in a lot of the eyes of Oriole fans. As you know, base running gaffes, maybe not showing that gold glove defense in right field, even though he won his gold gloves in left field. I mean, the offense has kind of played for the most part. Double play last night kind of killed a big first inning uprising. We've heard a lot about he's an upgrade over Anthony Santander. Santander himself off to a slow start in Toronto. So the Jim Hunter, the grade 2 weeks in, basically, for old Ticeps here.
Well, you know, you have to look at the production, and he does have 7 RBIs, which is 2nd on the team. Only Cedric with 14 has more than O'Neill. And, you know, he ran into a tough play last night on the fly ball by Jackson Holliday, the left field, that Gurriel made a great diving catch on. Mike Estabrook, the third base umpire, did not make a call at all. It's his play. The play is in left field. He has to stay out. And O'Neill said after the game he didn't see Easterbrook do anything, which he didn't do, and he tried to get to third base. And as it turned out, it ended up being a double play because he didn't tag from second base. He just ran because he thought the ball was trapped. So I think O'Neill has been an upgrade. I mean, obviously, you know, you're going to have webs and flows of when you're hitting and when you're not hitting. And I realize he hasn't hit a home run since opening day. But he's going to hit. And like I said, I mean, he does have seven RBIs, which is second on the team. And it was too bad that Mike Easterbrook took the Orioles out of a rally last night. They did score the one run on Mullins, tagging from third and scoring. But, you know, they would have had a runner at third and two outs if Easterbrook would have done his job and made an out call.
Yeah, let's get that Easterbrook. Stop ruining the game. Do your job. Anyway, Jim, we talk about the rotation. Problemo. Bullpen, solid. Outside of Perez, their earned average is below two for the bullpen this year. Offense inconsistent, and outside of the opening weekend outburst home run-wise, they've had a hard time hitting them. But defensively, getting back to that, why the struggles here? Because we look at the Orioles and think they're going to be one of the best defensive teams in baseball, and been rather inconsistent there, too.
Yeah, they have been, Bob, and it is a puzzle because, as you mentioned, these are proven defensive players. And, you know, maybe moving the guys around a little bit is having an effect on them. I can't say that for certain. But the thing of it is that when your pitching is as inconsistent as it has been, although you mentioned the bullpen, they've now gone four consecutive scoreless games in relief of the starters. But when your starters are very inconsistent, you need the defense behind them to try to help them out. And it is a problem, you know, because you're supposed to make the plays that you're supposed to make. And unfortunately, more times than not, that hasn't been the case.
Hey, Jim, when do you think that we start to see some power from Kerstedt?
Well, I'm just happy that, you know, he was in there again last night, and hopefully he's in there again this afternoon. I just think it's timing, Vinny. You know, he's getting used to facing major league pitching on a regular basis, and he does have power. But again, it's all about the timing and getting accustomed to facing these pitchers on a regular basis. So I'm glad he was in there again last night. He's made back-to-back starts. Hopefully he's in there this afternoon. And if I'm Brandon Hyde, I'm putting him in left field every single day so he can shorten that time span to get the timing down.
Jim Hunter, your confidence level that Dean Kramer can pitch through six innings today? He usually rises to the occasion when he's against the ropes, it seems.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he didn't pitch well in his last start, but he certainly has the ability to do that. And they frankly need that. You know, the bullpen, even though the bullpen has been pitching very well, four consecutive scoreless games for the bullpen, and their bullpen is 2.98. That's eighth in the major leagues for relief pitching ERA. But it would certainly help if Dean Kramer could go six innings today.
Jim Hunter, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan, longtime voice of the Orioles. His comments powered by Verizon. Jim, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday, this afternoon's game, and we'll talk to you next week, and I'll see you at Pickles as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I think I'm there next Wednesday with you.
That's right. Bring your money because you're buying this thing.
Okay. All right, guys. Have a good day.
All right, Jim. Jim Hunter, everybody. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Got another draft profile coming up here in a couple of minutes. Gianna Hahn's going to join us for some NFL lunch. Talk some Ravens with her. Got your American League East report at 1:15 as well. We'll keep you up to date on the early games. Yes, more day baseball. You watch the Yankees are taking on the Tigers, trying to avoid the sweep. But it's one of those. Get your Peacock Plus app ready for that one.
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
They dump it down in space. And here we go. Abuka with a lane. Emeka Abuka down the sideline with a blocker. Touchdown, Ohio State.
Fox with a call there. The great Gus Johnson. Talking wide receiver today. Earlier, we were in Texas. Now we're going to Columbus, Ohio, where it's a wide receiver factory. Not that Texas is it, by the way, but Ohio State, they churn and burn them first rounders. Let's talk about this year's possible first round pick.
Yeah, Emeka Abuka, Ohio State, 6'1", 202, senior, jersey number 2, 31 and a half arm, 9 5/8 hand. Five-star recruit, top 10 overall, 2021. Honorable mention, all Big Ten, kick return. Played in 11 games, 9 catches, 191, 21.2. 20 kickoff returns for 580 yards, 29.0. 22, second team, all Big Ten. 74 catches, 1,151 yards, 15.6 average. 10 touchdowns, started all 13 games. 1 kickoff return for 25 yards. 11 punt returns for 75 yards, average 6.8, had 11 rushes for 87 yards and 2 touchdowns. 2023, third team All-Big Ten. Played in 10 games, 9 starts. 41 catches, 515, 12.6 average, 4 touchdowns, 7 punt returns, 23 yards. He missed 3 games with an ankle. And then this past season, third team All-Big Ten. He was a captain. 81 catches for 1,011 yards, 12.5 per, 10 touchdowns, played in all 16 games, 15 starts, 8 rushes, 33 yards, 1 kickoff return for 16 yards. Strengths, size, he has good concentration, good burst after the catch, good hands, gets the ball up the field after the catch, good line awareness. He's an instinctive player. He can catch in traffic, showed some make you miss. He can adjust to high, low, behind, good long speed, natural hands, catcher, catches away from his body. He can track the deep ball very well, good route runner, good from the slot, and will need some work outside, good run instincts, was big-time kickoff return man early in his career. He's smart, he can find holes in zone, fluid, good athlete. Weaknesses. He can run sharper breaks to separate. He likes to round them. Will need work versus press coverage. Average size frame. Blocking not real consistent, and he plays mostly in the slot. In summary, I said Emeka played a lot in the slot. Does everything well there. Smart, runs good routes, catches well in traffic, excellent concentration. He'll need work on outside routes, especially versus press, but was very productive. And Ohio State and LSU receivers that were slot guys adjust well to the NFL. So he just kind of like plug and, you know, I mean, you just kind of plug these Ohio State and LSU slot guys in, you know, and a lot of times is, Bob, he's in the slot because they got other dudes on the outside right. That are older, you know, and then the young guy gets in the slot. But he's a really good route runner. And he's just going to have to learn and get more reps on the outside, but he's also an outstanding kick returner, so he can help you there. And with the new rules, you know, he becomes that much more valuable. So I think he'll be a good pro because most Ohio State guys that come out are, and he's a good route runner, and he's smart, and he's instinctive. He's just going to have to learn how to handle press coverage on the outside and running routes on the outside.
Mel Kiper Jr., Baltimore Zone, ESPN.com, has Emeka Abuka, number 3 receiver in this year's class, behind Travis Hunter and Matthew Golden. Mel's mock draft, however, has him going to the Jacksonville Jaguars at 36, second round. And then Nick Baumgartner, who we had on earlier, has him going 20 overall to Denver.
Yeah, quite a variance there. But the thing about it is I think Bob McMillan will go in the T-Mac will go in the first. The Arizona kid who's 6'4". Matthew Golden will go in the first. Luther Burden, all depend. I mean, I thought he's a pretty good player. He's got a shot. You know, and Abuka has got a shot, too. I mean, we may have three or four receivers, maybe five go in the first, depending on what else happens.
So a strong class, basically, is what we're saying. Because it could be
there's
deep,
not,
too.
Well,
I mean, there's
throw Travis Hunter in there, too, and you got another.
Right, no doubt, but he'll be the number one, you know, whatever, cornerback or wide receiver. But does anyone compare to, say, Marvin Harrison Jr., the hubbub he was getting coming out last year? Because he was expected to be a generational level wideout.
I think Marvin Harrison Jr. kind of let us down. Malik Nabers, there's nobody like Malik Nabers. I say that.
Okay. And the kid for Jacksonville had a monster year,
Oh, he had a hell of
too.
A year, too. And he was 20th pick, was he? Yeah. But, yeah, he did. He was very good. I think there'll be some good pros coming out this year. I mean, everybody says, oh, it's not a great receiver draft. I think there'll be some good pros in there, though.
When we come back, we'll talk about that subject and more as Gianna Hahn has some NFL lunch with us from the Baltimore Banner. American League East report what happened in the division last night and give you today's schedule. Orioles in Arizona taking on the D-backs. Zach Eflin placed on the 15-day IL. Colin Selby recalled from Norfolk. Orioles could win the series with a W today, which would be their first series win of the season. 4-3 disappointment last night after getting out to an early 2-0 lead. I thought the Orioles were going to blow them out, and then they didn't get a hit for six innings after the first inning.